Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's lessons are all about God's call and about what happens when people respond to God's call. Well, you heard the story of Jonah, but I left out for the children one particular aspect of the story that's important to lay the foundation for the second lesson and also for the gospel. There's this thing about Nineveh. It is not a place for the Hebrews. It's not home for them. In fact, Nineveh was one of the capital cities of the horrible, terrible, and dastardly Assyrians. They weren't part of God's plan. They weren't part of God's call. In fact, the Assyrians were known to be a fairly warlike people. And right there in Assyria, it was just, if you can imagine, the worst place for God to do God's work, it would be there. And yet, God sends a prophet, Jonah, to this horrible Assyrian stronghold to call them to repent. It's hard for us to kind of get a sense of how radical this is. It would be sort of like saying, well, God is going to send a prophet to the Taliban, and God is going to forgive them. It's tough to imagine, but that's the kind of radical story that this is. And what happens when God sends this prophet? I love that one of the kids said, well, they killed him. Because that's what we would expect. There he is, right in enemy territory, and God sends him in, and he doesn't even get a third of the way through the city before all of a sudden everyone, including the animals, is put on sackcloth and ashes and repents before God. The enemy becomes our friend. It's a story of transformation and call. God called Jonah to go to the people of Nineveh and to tell them about God and to call them into repentance, and in a story unlike the many that we read, they respond to the call. Well, Jonah, as a reluctant prophet, is one of the great ones. But I want to tell you about another reluctant call. I have a friend. He's been a friend for a long time. And one day, God called her to go into the ministry. And she was very reluctant. She's going to kill me if she ever hears this online. So please don't call her. Her name is Katie. Some of you know Katie. She's about this tall. And she is a really wonderful person who began... When I met Katie, she was an athletic trainer for the football team at the University of Kansas. So it was always fun for me to see her on the sideline with 6'4" linebackers. And here's, you know, little Katie taping up their foot. In the middle of her time as an athletic trainer, people began to say to her, you should think about the ministry. Well, are you serious? She had all this education in her chosen career. She had a path that she was on. She knew where she was going. Yeah, she was serving on the board at Lutheran Campus Ministry at the university, but that was just a sideline. And yet people kept saying, I think God is calling to you to do something different. So we put together a discernment group. I like discernment groups. And this group of people came together with her every couple of weeks or 3 weeks, and we prayed together, and we read together, and we talked about the vocatio of ministry. What would it be like? This went on for about 6 months, and at the end of it, she remained pretty unconvinced. And so we started another discernment group for campus ministry. And at the end of that time, finally she made the decision that she would give it a try. But she went kicking and screaming. Well, long story short, she eventually came here to be an intern. And it was a wonderful experience for her. And she has been doing ministry ever since. And like Jonah, she thought that she had her life path figured out. And the last thing she wanted to do was to spend her career as a pastor. But that's what God called her to. She repented. Well, as you know, a couple years ago, we began to think about having an associate pastor as part of our congregational life, that we wanted to grow in ministry here. And we committed ourselves to have a completely open and honest call committee process, that we would be open to whoever it is God would call. But I talked to Katie about it, because I thought, well, you know, we would work really, really well together. So I figured if nothing else, her name would go into the pot, and you all could make a decision about whether or not she would be the person who would respond to God's call. I was pretty excited about the possibility. I think Katie and I could do great things together. But we'd wait and see. So the bishop put together all of the names of all the possible candidates, put them all in a hat, talked to all of the candidates, and we were all ready to receive the names. And on the day that Katie got our congregational profile, she received a call to serve as the assistant to the Bishop of Northern California. Somebody repented. You see, that's how life is with God's call. We often have no idea where God is leading us. Jesus was there, you know, in the first part of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus comes down by the Lake of Galilee, and there he finds Andrew with his nets, and he says, "Come and follow me. The kingdom of God is near." And Andrew, who probably thought he should go fishing, what does he do? It says in Mark, he immediately followed Jesus. And just down the row, a few boats down, he runs into James and John, the sons of Zebedee, mending their nets in their boat. And then God calls them, and they follow Jesus. Call it life interrupted if you want, but it wasn't what they were expecting, and yet God's call ended up being their call. All of the disciples, taken out of their chosen professions and the trajectory into which they had placed themselves, they found themselves following Jesus. Jonah, the disciples, Katie, and us. You see, what I love about this story with Jonah and about the disciples is that it reminds us that God is not off in the distance watching us do our own thing, but that God, through the Holy Spirit, is moving us to places we could never even imagine. There's an incredible unpredictability about God's call. But always God is calling us back into relationship with each other and with God and sending us out to the most amazing places. Honestly, Katie would much rather be here. Who wouldn't? But God had other plans. And as we talked on the phone about the possibility of her call to serve the bishop, I said to her, "You know, Katie, as I look at what the needs of the church are today, it just seems to make sense that you would serve the greater church and be in that position to help as many congregations as you possibly can, and not just us." Well, God may be issuing another call. Our call continues, as always it has, to serve God's people here in Hawaii and in the world, to reach out to our neighbors, to feed the hungry, comfort the afflicted. Yesterday we gathered together to say farewell to our brother Robert, to bring comfort and love to one another. But several months ago you voted to call, or at least consider calling, an associate pastor. And so last week, I don't even remember if I announced this, but last week the Congregational Council selected someone to be what's called the selected candidate. And her name is Angela. And that's all I'm going to tell you. I have no idea where God is leading us in all of this. But what seems clear is that the Holy Spirit is moving through us and with us and taking us on an adventure and to a place that we cannot even begin to imagine. But look what happened to Jonah, to the disciples, to Katie. It will happen to us that God will call us into our ministry and keep us as God's people. So I ask your prayers in these days to come, to see where God's call is next. And I ask for your prayers for us and for this new person who may be called. In Jesus' name, amen.